Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Kenya. I thank you for being out there listening today and ask the Lord to bless you. We're going to be talking today about the joy of giving. And so don't everybody turn your radio off or switch to another channel. Many times people have a concept of the kingdom that the kingdom preachers or evangelists or people that have radio or TV broadcasts, they're just money hungry and they're always crying out for money, they're always needing money, blah, blah, blah. And so that is the impression that many people get because they don't have a good understanding, number one, of where their own money comes from, and number two, they don't understand how they can be blessed by giving of what the Lord has given them. And number three, they don't understand that there's great joy in seeing the kingdom of God expand here on this earth. There's great joy in giving into kingdom projects and kingdom ventures. And so I'm going to do a little teaching today. And again, don't switch the radio off. Just stay with me and enjoy the teaching. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Some of you out there, I know you're great givers. You give to your churches. You give to charity organizations. You give to Red Cross and World Vision and Compassion International and all these emergency aid relief organizations. And I bless you for that, and so does the Lord. He knows your giving. And then some of you out there don't give at all. You may think that everything is owed to you, or you just don't understand the need to give. I know there are many people listening to my voice today who have been listening to these radio broadcasts for many years who have never donated. And I bless you. I bless you. I thank you for listening. But I want you to get involved in kingdom projects. I want you to get involved in support of what the Lord is doing here on the earth and where Jesus is gathering. I want you to gather with him. And so that is the purpose of this teaching today, the joy of giving. Well, we're going to start and look at some Old Testament scriptures. And I want to first make the point that everything belongs to the Lord. Everything that you have, everything that I have, everything that was given to you by someone else, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, a colleague, whatever, everything that you have, everything that passes through your hand comes from the Lord one way or another. Proverbs 10:22, the blessings of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Well, many people can quote the scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil, but most people misquote it. They say money is the root of all evil, and that's a misquote of the scripture that's in the Bible. It is not the money that is the root of all evil. Money is just a means of transfer. Money is just a vehicle for a transfer of wealth from one person's hands to another. It's a system to simplify barter. That's all money is. It just represents value of a certain amount of something and a value of a certain amount of something else, and they can be exchanged without having to exchange a chicken for a bag of noodles or whatever. And so it is not money that is the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. If your whole life is dedicated to pursuing wealth and accumulating wealth and storing wealth and hoarding all the toys that come with wealth, if that is the summation of your life, if your whole life is focused on the material world and the material blessings, I feel sorry for you, and I hope that someday you'll have a revelation that that is not what life is all about, that you'll have a revelation that there's more to life than just accumulating money and buying toys and buying things. Because Proverbs 10:22, to repeat, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And so you're not going to find people that love the Lord and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You're not going to find those people jumping out of windows if they don't get the amount of money they think they should have. And you're not going to find those people committing suicide if things turn down for them in their financial scenario. And so they understand that everything they have comes from the Lord, that the riches that they have come from him, and that He is the one who blesses them. He is the one who can take it away. And just like Job, who had all of his possessions taken away, his 10 children taken away, all of his donkeys, his camels, his sheep, his houses, everything, all he ended up with was a few friends who were criticizing and chastising him, and his wife who was also criticizing him. But Job said, "Even if he slays me, yet will I trust him. Even if he slays me, I'm still going to trust him. It doesn't matter if he takes everything from me, even my own life, even my wife, even my friends or whatever. It doesn't matter." Job says, "I'm going to trust him anyway." And so Job did. He didn't understand what was going on in his life. He didn't understand why all this calamity all of a sudden came into his life when prior to that, he had had a very blessed life and things had gone very well for him. He didn't know that the Lord had made a pact or an agreement with the devil, and he had given Satan free rein in Job's life to do everything but kill him. And so God works in mysterious ways, but God was confident. He knew Job's heart. He knew the inner depths of Job, and he was confident that Job would stand with God. He was confident that Job would not curse God, that he would not turn away from God. And so that was the blessing then that Job had, and it all turned out in the end that Job was given double of everything that he had. All of his earthly possessions were doubled, and he got 10 more children, and his daughters were the fairest. His daughters were the most beautiful ladies in the whole land, and so he even doubled the number of his children from 10 to 20, and so God blessed him in ways that he never imagined he could be blessed himself, but he had to go through the persecution. He had to go through the trials and the tribulation that went when God made the pact with the devil. Well, Deuteronomy 9:18 is the scripture that the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and they're going to find a land there that is very bountiful, that is very rich in resources, it is rich in good soil, in rains, and in things that will prosper the children of Israel. And God gives them a warning to not turn away from him when they become satisfied, when they become complacent about the riches that they have. He gives them a warning. He says, "You shall remember," this is Deuteronomy 9:18, "and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." And so God warned the Israelites. He said, "You're going to be the beneficiary of a great and wonderful country, a land filled with milk and honey." And you know, when the spies went in, when Caleb and Joshua went in with the other 10 spies, they came out and they said, "Oh, this is such a good land. It's filled with great resources, and you can grow all kinds of wonderful crops, and the grape vines and the clusters of grapes are just huge." And so they were given the opportunity to move into the land of Canaan, to go in there and possess the land. And God says, "I'm warning you today, if you think that this is because of your own righteousness, and if you think this land is being given to you because you're so righteous and you're so wonderful, and you turn to other gods and you forget to thank me, and you forget to have gratitude in your heart because of what I've given you," God says, "if you turn to other gods and you start to worship them and you start to idolize them and you follow them, the Lord says, you are surely going to perish. You will not be blessed. You are surely going to perish, just as others have perished before you." Well, beloved, I'm sitting here in Africa, Kenya to be specific, right here today. I'm sitting in Kenya, and there is such a great need in Africa. If I take too long to focus on the individual stories of people that I know and their heartache, their heartbreak, their their poverty, all of the things that they lack. And if I take too long to focus on that, I become very downhearted. I become very depressed. It's easy in Africa if you get affiliated with people on a personal level, it's very easy to just get overwhelmed with the needs. Every single day, I get asked by somebody for something, either food or clothing or shelter or a phone or something. Every single day, I get asked for something because somebody needs something, and I don't question their need. I don't doubt usually that they need it. But I'm just saying to you listening to me here in America, if you're listening to me in America, that you are blessed beyond anything that you can ever know. You are blessed beyond anything that you can ever know. If you don't believe that, I challenge you to come here to Africa and walk with me for a week here in Kenya. And believe it or not, Kenya is a wealthy country compared to many of the countries in Africa. Kenya is up there in the top 10 of wealth in Africa, I would say. And I've been to some countries that are much, much poorer than Kenya, where the people have very little cash money, and they have very little of any kind of luxuries, electronic goods, cars, TVs, radios, any of that kind of stuff. And so Kenya is, in a way, a wealthy country. But if you've never been to other places in Africa, you would think Kenya is very, very poor. The average income of people here in Kenya is about $1,000 a year. The people that I work with out here in West Kenya and in Mumias area, the ones out in the villages, in the rural villages, I would say the average income for them is probably $500, $600 per year. The ones in the cities are doing better. They make more money generally. But all I'm saying is this, that in America, we are blessed with so much in America. We have been blessed with so much. Natural resources, all kinds of good farmland, timber all through the western and southern part of the United States, uranium, gold, oil. You know, America is now the world's largest oil producer, natural gas, wind generation, solar power generation, geothermal generation for electricity. We just have all kinds of blessings and abundance of resources. And so we are so blessed in America. And so I want you to keep that in mind when you're thinking about Africa, when you're thinking about giving to other countries. You know, the Lord said that to the rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler came to him, said, "I've kept all the commandments." And he was being very self-righteous. He said, "I've kept all the commandments. What else must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What else must I do to walk with you, Jesus?" And the Lord said to the rich young ruler, "Sell all you have and give it to the poor, and then come with me, and you will be fulfilled. Then you will be fully complete. You will be satisfied." And so the rich young ruler went away sad. He went away with sorrow in his heart, because his heart was set on his riches. He really loved the things that he had. He loved the things that he was able to buy. And so he was not able to part with the things that he had and give to the poor. Well, I'm just saying that to say this, that in America we have been given so much, and we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to praise the Lord about, in our finances, in the blessings, the resources, all of that that we have. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you think about your giving to other people in other places around the earth. Well, Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and he established it upon the waters." Well, the earth is the Lord's. Everywhere I've been in the world, and I've been in many countries around the world, in Europe, in Central America, in Canada, United States, now 6 countries in Africa, there is such bounty. The Lord has provided a great earth for people, rich soil and water. We have a beautiful spring on our place, out here at Macunda, where the Living Water Orphanage is. We have a beautiful spring, and the spring is running 20,000 gallons of beautiful crystal clear water. We have it developed. The water is running out of 2 3-inch pipes, and we have it developed. You can drink it right out of the pipes, and it's just amazing how the Lord provides wherever you go. He provides the great natural resources, things that people need to sustain themselves on the earth. But when you start to think about what you have, when you start to think about what the Lord has given you, don't get prideful about what a great self-made man or what a great self-made woman you are, especially in America, because, again, we have been given so much in America. We have such great resources and such great constitutional government and ways that have allowed us to make money and obtain wealth, and things for the most part work in America pretty well. And so don't pat yourself too much on the back talking and thinking about yourself being a self-made man or a self-made woman, because if you took your abilities and talents to Africa, you would be in the same situation that most of these people here are in. You would be in poverty, and you would be eating ugali and groundnuts every day and thanking the Lord for a cup of tea or a drink of milk. And so it just makes a lot of difference where you are born, what you have been given, the background that you have, the nation that you have, the laws that you live under, the president that you live under. All of those things are vitally important when it comes to what you can do with the resources that God gives you. And so be thankful for what you have. It all belongs to the Lord. Don't get a prideful attitude about what you have. Don't hold on to it too tight. Don't get boastful about what a great whatever you are, and just be willing to let go of it and give it to the Lord. We are sponsoring a preschool here in Mayoni, Kenya, a village next to Mumias, and we sponsor about 32 children at this point, $20 a month, and I invite all of you to participate in this program. The children come to this school. Many of them don't have shoes. Many of them have rags for clothing. Many of them don't have much in the way of food. They come there hungry a lot of times, and so your $20 a month buys them shoes, it buys them uniforms, it buys them maize meal and porridge, and it buys them a mattress to sleep on and teachers to teach them. So the children are blessed with just $20 each month, and any of you can be a part of that project, you can be a part of that program, and you can't imagine the joy that the children have when they see the Mazungas come from America to check up on them and see them. We've had quite a few teams come over here, and we always go to the preschool and play with the children, and so it's a wonderful blessing for just $20 a month. And also we're building an orphanage home out at Macunda on the other side of the river from Mayoni, and we have 4-acre shamba out there, and we have a big house under construction. We're about 90% finished with the house, and so these are some projects that you too can be a part of. These are some projects that you too can participate in, and it doesn't take very much money, but if a lot of people get involved, if a lot of people get on board and start to participate, why, the blessings for the people here in Kenya will be immense, and also for yourself and for the people in America. Well, Psalm 49:6 is a scripture that talks about trusting in wealth. It says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for himself. And so this is a scripture that speaks about salvation. And for those of you out there, if there's any of you listening here today and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never confessed him and repented of your sins, and you're trusting just in what this world can get you, and you're trusting just in what your riches can provide for you, beloved, I plead with you, I beg with you, don't trust in your riches. One of these days you're going to be laying in the grave, you're going to be laying back down in the earth from which you were made, And your riches are going to go somewhere else. They're going to be in somebody else's hands, in somebody else's home, in somebody else's city. And so you cannot trust in your riches. If you think that that is all there is in life, if you think that's what life is all about, please, 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 I beg with you to listen to the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ paid a ransom for you, and it wasn't money that he paid. It wasn't gold. It wasn't silver. He paid for your sins with his blood so that you could know him for all eternity and you could know your Creator for all eternity. And that is much, much greater than anything your wealth can ever buy for you. Anything that your riches can ever do for you. And you know that people who trust in their riches, sooner or later, the riches vanish, and sooner or later they come to a recognition of the fact that their Creator made them in such a way that they are to worship the Creator, that they are made in such a way that the only thing that they can truly worship and know with peace in their heart and with the grace and mercy of God, the only thing that they can know for sure is that their Creator made them, and it is their joy, it is their peace, it is their blessing to worship the Creator. And so that is where you want to be. And verse 16 in Psalm 49, it says, "Do not be afraid of one who becomes rich when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not ascend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself." And then it has in parentheses, "For men will praise you when you do well for yourself." Well, isn't that wonderful? Men will praise you when you have a good job. Men will praise you when you have a nice house. Men will praise you when you buy a new car. That's wonderful. That's great. And I hope all of you have a nice car and a nice house, although that is not likely to happen. But it says, when he dies, he will carry nothing away, for his glory shall not ascend after him. And if he trusts totally in his riches for his salvation, if he thinks that his whole life is just about eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die, and so get all of the gusto you can and be merry and drink and party and spend all the money you can, make all the money you can, spend it all on yourself, have the nicest of everything there is to buy. Beloved, it says that you're not going to carry it away with you. Your glory will not ascend with you. And you shall go to the generation of your fathers who never see the light of life. Beloved, I plead with you today, if you are in that category, if you have just made your life an unbalanced life and it's all about accumulating riches and you never trust God for anything and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you today that you would turn your life around and that you would get your focus on the spiritual aspect of your life. You would get your focus on what God wants you to be focused on, and that you would come to a place of repentance and come to know Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then when you come to that place, then you'll start to understand that riches are nice, riches are wonderful, and that God gave you the ability and God gave you the power to make wealth. And so when you start to understand that, you start to recognize that, then you also start to understand that when you use your wealth to bless the kingdom, when you use your wealth to gather and bring the lost into the kingdom, when you use your wealth for that purpose, then you're using it for the purpose for which God gave it to you and for the greatest purpose that that wealth can have. And so again, I invite all of you to participate with us as we do all of these things in Africa. It isn't my burden. It isn't my project. These are God's projects. He just directs me. He uses me. I'm a vessel of the living God. And so you can be a part of it. You can join with the preschool project and support a child for $20 a month, or you can help us finish up the Living Water Orphanage building. We need $3,000 or $4,000 to finish everything up, all the painting and bring the electricity in, the landscaping, and everything that needs to be done, the final details. And then also we have crusades going on. I have two coming up in the next 2 months, and I have plans to go to Pakistan in the spring or late winter. And also many, many people are calling and emailing me asking for me to come and preach. I'm not saying this to boast. It has nothing to do with my particular great ability. I just want to be a humble servant for the Lord, and I want to do His will. But it takes money to do these things. The gospel, they say, in Africa is expensive. Well, the gospel everywhere is expensive. We have to pay for this radio airtime. Everything that we do to gather for the kingdom outside of prayer. Prayer is inexpensive. Prayer has no cost. Everything else that you do has a cost. And so I want to invite each and every one of you to participate and become a kingdom gatherer and someone who uses your wealth and the blessings God has given you. You use that wealth to increase the kingdom of God. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.